But there are times when I can do good. I can do good things for you or for my wife or for my son. But at best, my motivations and I am mixed. I do things out of selfish ambition. I can be angry. I've got all of these things boiling up within inside of me. God is not that way. God is not vindictive. God is not fickle. And God does not change. So if God says, I am good, that means he is good through and through. No malice, no anything other than goodness. So for many of us, we think, okay, well, God is fickle. I didn't read my Bible this morning, which is why I got the flat tire. I don't pray enough, so God is going to give me a little bit of trial here at school or at work. We think that God's goodness is fluctuating because we have circumstances that aren't good based on what we would perceive as good. But understand, everything God does is good. Everything. Luke 18:19, no one is good but God. Psalm 34:18, I just quoted it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 100 verse 5, the Lord is good. Goodness is who God is. This means that in every circumstance, every trial, every setback that comes because God is good. This is not hyperbole. Because God's motives are not mixed. Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, when he writes about God's goodness, he says, good is what God approves. Think of it like this. James 1:17 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. Or one of my favorite verses in Psalm 84:11, no good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. So as we are thinking about God, God is good. God keeps his word. Everything God does is good and good for us, which means no matter what comes, it comes at the hand of a good God. Not a fickle God. Not a God that's here to teach you a lesson. Not a God that's here to, well, I just don't really feel like being good to you today, and so I won't. And so when we encounter things that in our mind are not good, we have to go to the text of Scripture, which is what he says in the second half of verse 68. You are good and you do good. So again, a second time, teach me your statutes. If you are good and you do good, and I'm experiencing things that in my mind are not good, help me to see it the way you would have me to see it. Just think of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. God does good, and God is good. So the psalmist understands at a deep level that this is what he was to learn. Now look at verse 69. So what is the potential circumstance as to why he came to this conclusion? Well, looking in verse 69, we see the insolent, or that's another word for arrogant, the arrogant smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. So here we have a potential understanding as to why this psalmist is experiencing affliction. It seems like there's these arrogant people who are smearing him with lies, like they're trying to cover him with lies. But look at the imagery. He's saying they're trying to envelop me or cover me or to wash over me or to bury me with lies. And yet they're sticking things to the outside of me, but on the inside of me, I keep your word with my whole heart. So they're trying to stick it on to him, but he's got something inside of him that he is holding fast to. So God's word keeps him in his moment of affliction because it penetrates and sits deeper than these afflictions. So yes, they're lying about him. Yes, they're trying to make it stick, if you will, to him. But deep down where they can't get, deep down where these arrogant people can't strike to is the heart. And he says, there is where I keep your word. So God's word, his precepts, his teachings are not superficial to the psalmist. They're not just, this will work for now. He's saying, no, this is what sustains me in my time of difficulty. And going along with that in verse 70, it says, their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. So think of the imagery here. What he's saying is around their heart is this ring of fat, this ring of impenetrable flesh that doesn't feel anything. So they're trying to pierce his heart with lies and afflictions, and the word of God is not piercing their heart. It's being blocked by this unfeeling fatness of their heart. And yet what the psalmist does is he does feel. His heart is alive, and it's alive with the delight of God's word. And delight just means great pleasure. But to delight in God's word is a common and consistent command throughout the Psalms. Just for example, you can even look in Psalm 119, verse 47. It says, I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Or Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Or maybe you remember verse 2 of the first Psalm. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So the righteous one, the one who hears God's word and delights in it, he meditates on it day and night. It penetrates deep into his heart. His heart is alive and full of delight in God's word. And then nothing can get to the psalmist. And though the arrogant and the sinner is there and his heart is being blocked by God's word is not getting through because of this ring of fat here, he is delighting and he is enjoying God's word. Look at verse 71, back in Psalm 119. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. So here, the psalmist puts it all together for us. He says, I was afflicted, and it brought me back to God's word. I kept God's word. It reminded me, it taught me that God is good. So how do I make that connection? Good God, affliction. How did I put that together? He says in verse 70, it was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn to keep your statutes. So he understood that there was something deficient in his worldview. He needed something to learn. He said twice, teach me your statutes, teach me your statutes. What did he learn when he learned to say? He said, I learned how to put together that God is good and uses things like affliction for my good. And when God gives me affliction, he gives me trial, or he gives me difficulty, it is not because he is not good. God doesn't take a break from being good to discipline you. As a good father cares for his children, so God the Father cares for his people. The good gift of God was that the good outcome came, that it was learning God's statutes, learning what God has said. Knowing God's word is knowing God for real. We cannot know the real God without knowing what the real God has said. You should not have a lot of tolerance for a Christianity that says, I'm going to get alone with God and open my ears and hear what he has said to me. He has spoken to you. 66 books of God's holy word written to you, signed, sealed, and delivered so that you can know your Father. Does God speak through prayer? Absolutely. Like, don't go into the other ditch. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God's word is so, it so encapsulates who he is, you cannot know him apart from knowing his word. Do you want to know what God says to you? Open your Bible. Look to what God has said. Look at verse 72. He calls it the law of your mouth. Or think of 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. The nearness and the completeness of God and his word is that it is like the breath coming out of his lungs. You, the nearness and the understanding of why do we talk so much about the Bible at this church is not because we don't want you to read fun books, quote unquote, or that we want you to be this or that. We're saying that you can have an encounter and hear from the living God today. You can hear from the living God every time you crack the spine or flip open the app on your phone. You can hear from the living God. And what the psalmist says is the living God is good and does good. So teach it to me. And if you don't know that he is good or you can't see his goodness in this, the problem is not God or God's goodness, it's us. So teach us, God. Show us again your mercy. Help us to see your goodness, especially in times of affliction. Turn with me to Lamentations, verse 3, which is a small book in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. If you've gone to Ezekiel, you've gone too far. Lamentations 3, which you might be familiar with the middle of Lamentations 3. Great promises, verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But look a little further on. Lamentations 3, verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. So do you get what Jeremiah is saying here? He's saying that there is a time and a season and a reason for what you're experiencing, the grief or the affliction that you are experiencing. There's a reason for it. And the reason is not God has ceased to be good to you. Think of Hebrews 12, that all discipline for the moment doesn't feel good, but the peaceful fruit of righteousness will come from it. So there are seasons and times where God will grieve you and he will give you trial and affliction. But he doesn't do it forever. And he doesn't afflict you from his heart, which I take to mean that God never sacrifices goodness in his afflicting us to draw us in to him. So again, the reason why God calls himself a father is because he does fatherly things. Think about any good father. A good father will not allow you to eat candy at 4:30 if dinner is at 5. It makes no sense. It's not good for your teeth. It's not good for your health. And that might sound really good. I, little known fact, I love licorice. I mean, I am a licorice fiend. I mean, there's not enough licorice on the planet. I get emails from licorice.com and I don't even know how it happened. That's not even a joke, but I love it. I love it so much. I was at the dollar store yesterday. I bought red vines, and don't fight me. Red vines are better than Twizzlers. The point is this. Eating that at 4:30, eating that instead of nutritious meals is not going to sustain me at the way I need. So unfortunately, my dad's not here to crack the whip anymore, so I got to do it myself. But with my children, I look to do things that give them the outcome that they actually need, not what they want. We can't eat licorice before dinner. Hey, let's go to bed before 10 o'clock because we got to get up early for church tomorrow. But I want to stay up and do this. I want to do that. It's fun. Yeah, I know it's fun. I know it's great. But that's not what is best for you. God knows what is best for us. And God has the fortitude to do good in spite of what we think is good. And so he will do what is good as per what God says is good for us, not what we think is good for us. And yet he does it, as Lamentations 3 tells us, while never sacrificing his goodness, his compassion, and his steadfast love on us. And so that can be hard. That can be difficult because it's hard to put together sometimes. How can God be good and how can I have these afflictions? Because rest assured, afflictions will come this year. They could be small or they could be great afflictions. They might end well for you or they might not. We don't know what the future brings. But we know this. God has said that he is good, and he is doing good for you right now. When Spurgeon was writing and preaching on that text, Psalm 84:11, "No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly," he said that if there was anything on earth that your good father thought you needed at this moment, you would have it. And if you don't have it right now, it is because a good father sees it fit for you not to have it. And we don't get that. I want to be healthy. I want to have good relationships. I want a fulfilling or rewarding career. And yet, many times those things elude me, and I don't have access to them. And I might think, what kind of good God would not allow me to thrive at X, Y, or Z? But if we take God's word for what it is that a good father is saying in this moment, in this season, at this time, what you think is good is not. And you might not know why, but when you look back on your life and you think about the goodness that I have done in your life, you will see, either in this life or the next, how my goodness came to bear in every circumstance. So as we close, this doesn't mean that trials aren't difficult or that somehow knowing this makes it easier. It might not. Probably won't. But easy is not part of the deal here. It's just not. There's no Bible verse that says, thou shalt have an easy life. The New Testament would seem to go out of its way to say that it's not going to be easy. God never offers easy. You know what he offers you? He offers you holy. He offers you eternity. He offers you fellowship with him and his son by his spirit. It's not easy, but it's awesome. It's powerful. And then we can endure with joy because we know God is a good father. How can you see your afflictions differently if you know that your afflictions come from a good father, not a vindictive God? We can endure a lot from our dads if we know their hearts are in the right place. How much more so can we do the same with our heavenly father, knowing that his motives are perfect? And now here is what is my favorite part about preaching any psalm about reading God's word, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ purchased for you the ability to obey these commands. Do you have a hard time seeing God as good in your affliction? Do you have a hard time going to God's word and seeking it and wanting to be taught by it? Do you struggle with these things? Well, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ purchased for you new hearts, new affections, and new desires. And we have free rein to ask for as much grace and as much help as we need to live like the Psalms call us to live. Do you know that? Do you know Jesus Christ bought that for you? Do you want to come to God's word and be taught? Do you want to see God as good in your afflictions? You have that ability now if Christ resides in you. Christ purchased for you everything you need for life and godliness. Yes, the word we use is sanctification. We become more like Christ step by step, day by day, over a lifetime. But the power to take step after step, the power to become more like Christ today than yesterday, is not found in your ability, in your eyesight, in the quality of your Bible. It's found in Jesus Christ alone, who purchased for you all that you would need to live a holy life. So are you like me, and you wake up some days and you say, this book is as far away from where I want to be as possible? Well, remember Psalm 119. God, open my eyes that I might behold glorious things from your word. Ask for it. He is faithful to give it. God, my desires in my heart don't line up with what your word says. God, give me new desires. Ask for it. Ezekiel 36 says that the new birth comes with a new heart, which gives us new abilities. And so do you lack desire? Do you lack joy? Do you not see God in the fullness that you think you should? Ask for Christ to dwell richly in your heart. Ask that the Spirit would fill you with new mercies and that you would have new eyes to see the truths set before you. You are not in this alone. And you're not white-knuckling your faith until you can just finally just get over the hump. That's not how it works. Release it. Say, Christ, you dwell in me. You've made promises to me. You've said that if I draw near to you, you will draw near to me. You've promised that I would have a new heart and new desires. I don't feel new, and I don't have great desires. So just like the psalmist says, teach me to love your word. Teach me to see you as good in affliction. You have everything you need right now to experience more of God's grace and meeting him more impactfully and powerfully in his word. So ask. He loves to give, and he will give it repeatedly. So this year, make it a plan to get to know your Father better. Dig into his word. Hear his voice. Plant his word deep in your heart and find your ultimate delight in him. As we read earlier, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's inviting you in. Come to him. Open his word, speak to him through prayer, ask him for what you need, and draw near to him, and he will be faithful to draw near to you. And finally, as we close this morning, this text only applies to those who can call God Father. And the question you have to ask is, can you call God Father? Jesus said of himself, he said that I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So if the Spirit of God is revealing to you that you don't have these desires we're speaking about, that you don't see God as good, but you want to, you're realizing that the Lord is captivating you with the beauty of his word and who he is, well, look to Christ, the author and the completer of our faith. All who believe in the name of Jesus Christ are saved. So look to him, believe that what Christ did on the cross, pouring out his blood and saving for himself a people zealous for good deeds. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's pray. Well, Father, what a powerful truth that you are good and that you do good. God, it's such an amazing concept. It's almost too hard to believe. And so, God, I ask that you would work in the hearts, in the minds of those here today, both in person or listening online, who struggle with seeing you as good, that they don't understand that goodness comes from you in everything, that you give and you take away, but blessed be your name in all things. God, you are good. Help us to see it. Help us to know that when we experience trial or temptation, difficulty, or anything that we might not see as good, help us to understand that it is good because you have allowed it. Help us to find the good in you in all things. Strengthen us as we go about our business in this life of living holy and upright lives. God, we know in our minds often that you are good, but help us experience in our hearts. Help us to see this year as we dig into your word and we draw near to you that even in our most profound trials, we can experience the sweetness of your goodness in everything. So God, you are good and merciful, and you mercifully give salvation to all who will call on your name. So God, we ask again that you would open the eyes of the blind, take out the hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh to those who hear the sound of my voice that have never trusted in your Son, Christ Jesus, that you would do the good work of saving those even today. God, thank you that you are good and you do good in everything. Teach us to follow you nearer and nearer this year. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.